day is found in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We will take Matthew 28, which we just read to you,
where we find that very early in the morning, just as it was beginning to dawn, why Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the sepulcher. Now, these women, we find, had been at the cross. They had seen Christ crucified. They had seen him die. And likewise, they had followed Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea to the grave. They had seen how he had been buried. These women, they had their all and all wrapped up in this precious Jesus. They loved him. Mary Magdalene was that woman out of whom Christ had cast seven devils. As she ministered unto him, she followed him around when he was here upon earth. The other Mary, she was a sister to Mary that was used by the Holy Ghost to bring Jesus into this world. Other women likewise, according to the other Gospels, were with these women. They could not wait until the Sabbath was ended, it says, and late after the Sabbath, towards the first day of the week, very early in the morning, we find these women busy. They had bought spices and ointments, and they were going to come to the sepulcher to embalm Jesus, as the custom was of the Jews. They had such love and affection to him, and they would then pay their last respects unto him in this manner. They then got up early. It was still dark. And they came together and they walked towards the sepulcher. These women are a type of those that also love Jesus even to this day. Those that have their heart and their minds and their affections set upon Christ. They are a type likewise of these women. These women, they got up very early in the morning to show their love and affection to Christ. How many of you do this? How many listening to me get up early in the morning? Or how many lay in bed to the last minute? If you have to go to work, you lay to the last minute in bed. And then you jump out of bed and you hurry off to work. Probably don't even eat any breakfast. Probably don't even stop to pray or to read the Bible. No time. This is the way most people live today. Oh, are there some listening to me that live this way? Are you guilty of this? Oh, may you remember that God in heaven above, he has control of our lives. It is in him that we live, move, and have our being. Oh, may you tomorrow morning, if you've never done it before, get up a little earlier. Get on your knees. Ask God to begin the day with you and be with you and help you and give you what you need to perform your daily employment. Take his word and pray over it and read it and study it and ask him to enlighten you in it. Even if you take 10 minutes. What's 10 minutes? Haven't you got that much over for Jesus, for your immortal soul? I'm sure there are some listening to me who have the same love that these women have. They probably, like myself, never done this either before. I know from experience what natural people do. They have no desire for Jesus. They have no time to read the Bible. But oh, when God comes, then we take time. Oh, then we find time. We make time. And we find it sometimes a blessed time of the day, in the morning, when nobody's around us, when we're alone, and we can beseech the throne of grace, and God gives us a little access and nearness. What a mercy. And then when we pick up his word sometimes, it's so suitable for our case, it just meets us. Oh, we delight in the word of God. My hearers, take this word of caution. Take this word of instruction. May it lead you to seek God. These women, they had everything over for Christ. They bought spices and ointments, and they got up very early to come to the grave. And we find as they are walking along, they're talking with each other. And they said to themselves, who shall roll for us the stone away from the door of the sepulcher? Now they had seen that this stone had been rolled towards the door. It was an immense stone. And they knew that they could never roll this stone away from the door. And now this obstacle came up in their minds. Had they probably thought of this before, they probably never would have even left their home, because they would said it would be no use. We can't move that stone away from the door of the sepulcher. But their love carried them so far that now they began to think about this. And they wondered who would help them to roll this stone away. Now, they are a type of many of God's dear people. You know, if you're seeking Christ, if you're coming to Him for salvation, there are many obstacles in the way, many stones in the way, my hearers. The first stone that I would name to you is unbelief. Now, that's a heavy stone. Unbelief. It makes us think that everything that Christ gave us was not from Him. It turns it upside down. It appears to us that it all was just from the flesh. It was all just learning. It was all because we were brought up religious. That's why we have these things. Unbelief would deny those things that Christ has given unto us. And who can remove this heavy stone of unbelief from their hearts? No one can do this. Only God can remove this. Then we have likewise this stone, our sins and our iniquities, our guilt. They are such a heavy stone which lays upon the heart and upon the conscience of so many that are coming to Christ. Oh, they think He'll never receive me, such a creature like me. Oh, if I was now good and I lived upright and was honest and was sincere, but oh, I've got so much guilt, so much sin. He'll never receive such a creature like me. Now this troubles them. This stone's in the way. Who can remove this? Only Christ. He is able to remove, and He has removed all the sins of His people in one day. Then there is the stone of slavish fear, slavish dread. Oh, we fear and dread that He'll never accept such creatures as us. Why? Because there's so many slips, there's so many falls that we make in our daily life. And then we fear and think, no, I could never be one of these people because I would never do these things if it was so. And we fear that Christ will never receive the likes of us. And this is another stone that we cannot remove from our hearts. And then we have likewise this stone, the doctrine of election. Oh, so many are troubled with this. If I only knew that Christ had chosen me, that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that He loved me from before the foundation of the world. Oh, what a comfort this would be. But oh, I fear that I'm not one of these elect. Oh, I can't believe that I am. This is a heavy stone, my hearers, that only Christ can remove from the hearts of His dear people who are coming unto Him. Now then there is this, and this is a stone too. Oh, our associations in life, our employment, our friends, those with whom that we have contact with, our relatives, oh, to leave them, to forsake them and their friendship, and to deny oneself and take up the cross and follow Christ? Oh, we can't do this. This is a heavy stone. Oh, then there is the stone of the world, of the flesh, of sin, of the devil. Oh, there are so many obstacles in the way, my hearers, with those that are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I should go around and personally ask you what kind of a stone you got, probably you could give me a better answer than I'm giving you. But now these women, they thought of this obstacle and they said, well, who will remove it for us? And we find that they didn't stop. They didn't turn around and go back. No. And they went on. So it is with those who Christ has chosen, in whom the good work is begun. No matter what obstacles come up against it, they continue on. They persevere. Because Christ removes all the obstacles out of the way. Of these women, they came then to the sepulcher. And on their way, this must have taken place. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. And an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And he rolled the stone away from the door of the sepulchre, and he sat upon it. And for fear of him, the watchmen, they were filled with fear, and they trembled, and they became as dead men. We have here then a wonderful thing taking place, an earthquake. Heaven and earth were moved at the resurrection of Christ. The earth moved, and God in heaven moved the earth. He it was that likewise brought this to pass. All this earthquake, my hearers. We read in the chapter preceding this one that there was an earthquake when he died. Then the earth shook too when he gave up the ghost on the cross. And then we read that many of the saints that were buried in the earth arose and appeared and went into the holy city and were seen of many. This is a mystery, my hearers. How we can account for this, what sort of bodies these people had when they came up out of the ground, who they went to, where they went to after they had appeared to many in the city, we know not. There are many things in the Bible that are mysteries that are hidden and concealed from us. But there were then two earthquakes, one when he died and one when this resurrection took place. We in this area, we have never experienced an earthquake. But there are certain areas in the world where it seems that these earthquakes take place periodically. And wherever they take place, why, the loss of life is terrific. And the devastation of property and the destruction of those things around about these places where they take place is tremendous. They are awful things. Sometimes whole cities are swallowed up by an earthquake and everything around it is ruined. Oh, we should be so thankful that we in this area have never had one like that. Think of it. What would take place to this great city, New York, with all the tremendous buildings that are there? Should God just shake the earth, and he's able to do so, my hearers? Oh, how we should fear this God, not with a slavish fear, not with a dread, but a fear of reverence. Because he is so mighty, he is so great. He shook the earth at this time. And all my hearers, this takes place likewise in the hearts of sinners coming to Christ. Especially when God begins, then there's an earthquake, there's an upheaval within. Then God opens the heart of a sinner. And oh, it's just like when he opened the sepulcher, there was a grave and Christ lay in it. So we have a grave within us. Our hearts are like a grave. And when God opens it up, we see it full of sin, full of dead man's bones. Oh, what an awful sight it is when this earthquake takes place within. Then we have to do with our sins and with our iniquities. We have to do with the just and with the holy and the righteous God that must punish sin. Oh, it's an awful experience, and still it's so necessary that this takes place in our life. Have you ever had an earthquake? Oh, my hearers, have you ever trembled before God? Oh, some, my hearers, they have experienced terrible convictions of sin, and they have so many fears at that time that they, like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, would sink into hell below. They deserved it so. They merited it so. They're given to see this and to confess this and to acknowledge it. Have you had something like that? Some have this more or less. So this is an earthquake within, my hearers, when God shakes us and makes us alive unto himself, and we begin to see as God sees. Oh, what a vast change then takes place in the person. Then, my hearers, things that we loved before, we begin to turn from and spurn from. And things that had no value for us, things we would say like religion, like listening to the Word, reading the Word and praying, it didn't mean anything at one time. But then, when this takes place, Oh, my hearers, what a change takes place in such a person then. Oh, what a hearing ear such receives, and how they love and delight to read the Word of God and to search it and to pray over it, and how they set time apart to pray to God for mercy, for salvation. And oh, many a rich blessing they get when they come up under the means of grace. Many times God favors such creatures that have experienced this internal earthquake. Oh, they say, had it but stayed that way. But oh, I hear some say, I wish I was that way right now. Yeah, I do too, if I would talk with you as companions, my hearers. All this, what has taken place now. Oh, you've been talking to the group about getting up early and praying and reading the Bible. That's what I used to do, but I don't find that in it anymore. Oh, I find it. There's such little desire to get up early and to pray and to read. Oh, I'm ashamed of myself. This is the way it is. This is the way I feel. I never thought it would get that way. But this is so true, my hearers. What do you need now? Why, you need another resurrection. Maybe you came up this afternoon praying and saying, oh, Lord, do revive my soul. Do revive the work within me. Oh, leave me not in this position that I am in. Oh, what a blessing if it has been so with you, my hearers. This earthquake was a sign of God's approval. And this was a sign to the world that Christ, who had been buried in him, come forth. This angel who appeared, we read of him that his countenance was like lightning and that his raiment was white as snow. Angels. You know, angels proclaimed the birth of Christ. They came to the shepherds and they proclaimed to them, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, namely Christ the Lord. What a glorious message this was for these shepherds. When Christ likewise was led out into the wilderness and tempted 40 days by the devil, then after this we find that angels came and ministered unto him. We find likewise when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the midst of all his agony, when he was sweating great drops of blood, when he was bearing the wrath due to our sins, then there came an angel and strengthened him. Angels have been used by God not only for comfort and for encouragement and likewise for wonderful things that were going to take place, but likewise they've been used as messengers of judgment. God has sent them into this world. Oh, when we think of the Assyrian army, 185,000 Assyrians were slain in one night by one angel. Oh, the power, the activity of these angels is tremendous. There are no creatures like these angels. They are far superior than all created beings. All these angels, they have knowledge, they have wisdom, they have understanding. This angel, when he came down, oh, what an appearance it was to these watchmen that were watching at this sepulchre. Oh, this celestial being, this being that dwells in heaven, came down here upon the earth. And when these watchmen seen this being, why, they trembled, they were filled with fear, and they were as dead men. They froze in their tracks. Oh, my hearers, should you and I ever see such a celestial being, oh, we likewise probably would be filled with fear and dread. Oh, think of this, my hearers. There was now an angel coming down to announce unto these women what a wonderful thing had taken place. Oh, thinking of this, my mind was led to the day of judgment. Oh, when Christ shall come with thousands upon thousands of ministering angels. Oh, what a sight that will be, my hearers, when this glorified Emmanuel who comes sitting upon a throne. Angels are terrible beings to behold with our human eyes. What that will be in that day. And then we shall not only behold all these angels, but we shall behold Christ. Take your Bible, read Daniel 7. He was given a sight of the day of judgment. The judgment was set, and he saw the Ancient of Days come down and sit upon the throne. And all what went out from him, such a fiery stream went out from him. And he likewise, this Ancient of Days, was dressed with fuller's clothes, as no one could make them as white here upon earth. All this glorious person is coming, my hearers. And think, these watchmen, they tremble, they were filled with fear. Oh, what will the inhabitants of this world be when they see this glorious sight? For every eye shall see him. You and I will see him likewise, my hearers. Oh, how we will tremble, how we will be filled with fear, how we will likewise be as these watchmen. They were as dead men. Oh, then likewise will experience what we read. They will pray to the hills and to the mountains to fall upon them. Oh, my hearers, this angel then, he was a mighty angel. He rolled a stone back from the sepulcher. He opened the way for Christ to come forth out of the sepulcher. And these watchmen, we read in the other gospel, they fled away. And he sat triumphantly upon this stone, waiting for the women to come. They were on their way, probably, when this took place. And now when these women came, then we find that this angel spake unto them and said unto them, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. Come, see the place where he hath laid. Oh, what a wonderful message this was for these women, my hearers. Oh, they heard from the mouth of the angel, Fear not ye. Wonderful words, are they not? Have you ever been filled with fear? You know anything about fear? I've been talking about the day of judgment. This is enough to make anybody fear if it's set before thee in eloquent language, which I don't have. But oh, my hearers, we have many fears in life. And you know the people of God, they are continually filled with fears. And all the Lord has put down in his precious word so many fear nots for his dear children. And many times he uses these fear nots, especially when they are filled with fear and dread. Oh, this angel then spake to these women, Fear not ye. Oh, they had no reason to fear. It was as if he said, You don't have to be afraid of me. I'm a friend of Jesus, just as you are. And you've come to do an act of love to him, and so have I. I've came down here too for that same purpose. Don't be afraid of me. Oh, they were looking upon this celestial being, and you may imagine that they sure were filled with fear. But he spake to them in wonderful words, Fear not ye. Has God ever spoken unto you? Has ever he said unto you, Fear not? Oh, my hearers, the people of God have so many fears. They fear sometimes that the work is not God's. They fear that everything is wrong. They fear that in the end, then they will be revealed as hypocrites. Oh, they fear many times that God will leave them and forsake them because of their many sins and iniquities. Oh, they have so many fears, these people. And then at times God is pleased to speak to their hearts. He has written so many precious fear nots in his word. See if I can remember some. He said unto Abraham, An example of faith this man was. He appeared unto him, and he said unto him, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and great reward. Oh, what a mercy it was for Abraham, for God to manifest himself in this way to him. And then we read likewise of the people of Israel. They were commanded by Moses to go up and possess the land. And he spake unto them and said, Fear not, be not discouraged, be not dismayed. The land is before thee. God has promised to give you this land. What a mercy, my hearers, if God comes to us and says to us, fear not, be not discouraged, be not dismayed. Heaven is before you. I've promised to bring you there. Oh, may God bless this, what I am speaking about to your immortal souls. We find likewise that in the book of Isaiah, the Lord used Isaiah for his dear people, that he likewise speaks, fear not, Jacob. I am with thee. I shall help thee. Oh, have you ever had some fear nots like this? The Lord likewise in the gospel himself spake and said, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Oh, he knows what a fearing, what a trembling people he has, and he has made provision for them in all their fears. Oh, I would say to you that are a fearing and a trembling soul, that are a seeking soul, oh, don't fear. You will receive everything that the Lord has promised in his precious word. Oh, you sometimes think that you never will find what you're seeking after. Oh, I know I'm troubled with the same thing. Seeking, crying, weeping, and still not finding him. And still, he has commanded his people that they should seek him. And he has never said to the seeking soul, seek ye me in vain. Or he surely will give that you will find what you are seeking for. Or we find that these women, they were spoken to by the angel. He said, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. Oh, what wonderful words, my hearers. We have in this an instance of what is known in heaven. Even in heaven they know who is seeking Jesus. Even the angel knew. He knew that these women came to seek Jesus. How many amongst my hearers is this word applicable to? Could it be said unto you, for I know that ye seek Jesus? How many can lay their hands on their heart and say before a God who is knowing and heareth all things, oh God, you know I don't seek Jesus. Would you say that? Are there some here that would be able to say that? You that are seeking Christ, would you say something like that? Oh, you say, well, that's true. I wouldn't dare say something like that. But I haven't found him yet. And I'm afraid that I'm going to die without finding him. I'm afraid that all my seeking is in vain. All my hearers, the Lord is good to the soul that seeketh him, and he never forsaketh them that seek him. All you have found probably many times that you've been in this position before, and then the Lord has come, and he has come and spoke to you and encouraged you to seek on. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy apply this word to you. It is for the comfort of you that this is written, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Oh, haven't you sought him? Have you not sought him before you came up to this place of worship? Oh, have you not been on bended knees many times saying, Lord Jesus, won't you make yourself known to me? Won't you appear to me? Won't you reveal yourself unto my soul as my Savior, as my Redeemer, as my Advocate, as my righteousness? How many here have such desires after Jesus? It's known in heaven. It's God that inspires these things in the hearts of his dear people. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to be a seeker after Jesus, and that it is known in heaven that we are such. Blessed are all they that seek him. They will be happy finders someday. And that day will come when God will grant what you have been seeking for. And these women were told that Jesus, who was crucified, was risen. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. We have here then that this angel announces to the women that Christ was risen from the dead. Christ, he had come into this world for the express purpose of atoning for the sins of his people and of his church. And he had completed the work that the Father had given him to do. He had cried out on the cross, "It is finished," a finished work, my hearers, a perfect work, a perfect satisfaction unto God's justice. His holiness and his righteousness was brought in by this blessed Jesus. Oh, if he had not finished the work, there would be no salvation for any one of us. Oh, this blessed Savior, then, upon the third day, he was given to arise. He had said himself, "I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again." He then, on the morning of this day, arose very early in the morning. In his own power, he came up out of the grave. He laid the grave clothes to one side. He laid the napkins to one side. And forth came this almighty conqueror. Oh, he conquered all the enemies of his church. He conquered sin, the world, the devil. He conquered likewise the last enemy, namely death. Oh, he triumphed over death, and he came forth and appeared unto this angel, who probably was the only spectator at this grave. We have no account in the Gospels of historically of how that Christ came up and walked out of the grave. But we have this account that the angels make it known. And he came then and walked by his own power. He took back the life that he had before that he entered into the grave. And he came forth out of the grave with a glorified body, a wonderful body, my hearers. And this blessed Jesus then had been given by God the Father to rise again. This is attributed to his own power as well as to the Father. For the Father raised up his Son Jesus, it says. What God does, Jesus does. They are one. The Trinity is one in this respect. And we find that these women were commanded by the angel to come and see where he had laid. They were given then ocular demonstration to their own happy souls that he was risen. They were allowed to come and look and see that he was not lying there anymore, that he had laid and was there no more. All this was for their comfort. This was for their encouragement that they were given to do this. And now the angel, he spake unto these women and told them that they should go and tell his disciples that he was risen from the dead, and that as they would go and tell his disciples, he, Jesus, would go before them unto Galilee, and there ye shall see him. I have told you so. Oh, there's a volume, my hearers, in this text that I just quoted, for these sorrowing women that had come to the grave to embalm Jesus. Oh, what a change had taken place with them. Oh, they came seeking a dead Jesus to perform this act of love, and they found no Jesus in the grave. They were given to hear that he was risen from the dead. Oh, what a change this must have brought in the hearts of these women. They had buried him and they had lost everything with him. It was a hopeless case for them. But now their work inside was revived by the voice of this angel. "He is risen." All glorious words it were for these women. And they were given to see that he was risen. And now they were commanded by the angel to go and tell his disciples. He, the angel, was a messenger from God unto these women, and now this angel made them messengers so that they would proclaim this glorious act of resurrection unto the disciples. All these women then, they had a wonderful thing to tell. They had been told by the angel that he was risen, even as he has said In the other gospel we read, when the angel proclaimed unto them, even as he had, so it has taken place, then we read, they remembered his words. Oh, they remember that he had spoken before that he had died, that he would suffer many things from the elders and from the chief priests, and that he would be crucified, and the third day he would rise again. And now when the angel said this, as he had said, then they remembered these words. Then already there was a vast change within them. Oh, they began to remember how many times that Jesus had said this, and they had forgotten it completely. But the disciples themselves had forgotten what Jesus had said concerning this matter. It was the enemies they remembered, for they had set a watch so that it wouldn't take place. But the sorrowing disciples and the women, they had no thought of what he had said. It's a wonderful thing how ignorant they were and how unmindful that they were of what Christ had said to them when they were with him every day. We can see in this their unbelief. And we do not have to reprimand them for this, for we aren't any different ourselves. Oh, I was thinking when I was meditating upon this, how often do we remember the things that the Lord has spoken unto us, that the Lord has done for us? It is true, when he comes and we are in distress and he speaks and he lifts us up above all our fears and doubts and he gives us sweet communion with himself, and we may bring the words that he has spoken to him. Oh, it's such a sweet employment, my hearers. But this doesn't last. Gradually it dies away. And then we can't even remember sometimes the words that he has spoken. Oh, we aren't any different then than the disciples and the women. And now this angel said as he has said. It had come to pass as he had said. So God uses sometimes the ministry of his word. Sometimes we come under the ministry of God's servants. And then these servants, they bring out what God has done to us. And it pleases God to open our hearts, to open our ears, like we never had it for a long time. And then everything becomes new again. Oh, then it was what God has said. Then we remember. Oh, how are we by nature, my hearers? We are so forgetful of God. Oh, what a mercy that he has said that he will never leave nor forsake his people, nor will he ever forget them. These women then, they had a joyful message to tell to the disciples. Oh, they were filled with it. He was risen. He wasn't dead anymore. Oh, he who they loved and who they believed in, their Savior, he was alive. So they ran with haste. They left the sepulcher. They ran to tell his disciples what had taken place. And as they were going, the promise that the angel had given unto them was fulfilled. For he shall go before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Oh, what a wonderful meeting this must have been for these women. They had a wonderful message from the angel, but now they seen Jesus himself. He appeared unto them, and they fell down at his feet to worship him. Oh, this was a wonderful meeting that these women had. This was a fulfillment of the promise that the Lord had given unto them as they were at the sepulcher by the mouth of the angel. If the Lord has given you a promise, my hearers, there will come a time when he will fulfill that promise. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or tittle of what he has said will ever fail. He is a God that keepeth his word unto 1,000 generations. May the Lord bless my feeble instruction this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today.